Okay, today's daf is Baba Basra daf Mem Beis. We are holding on the bottom of daf Mem Aleph Mem Beis at the two dots, about five lines from the bottom of the page. Shlosha Lekuchos. First thing we're going to discuss is what if no single person developed the chazaka, but one Reuven sold to Shimon or sold to Levi, and between the three of them, they were living in the field for 3 years. Is that enough to have a chazaka against the Marakama? Or can the Marakama say, look, I assume that no one was developing chazaka. You kept on jumping from one person to the next, and therefore it's not a chazaka at all. So that's going to be the first issue that we discuss. And then we're going to talk about whether a father and son can combine for chazaka, both in terms of whether they can combine to make a chazaka and whether they can have a chazaka against them. Meaning if a person is machzik in the karka for 3 years and the father was alive for one or two of those years and the son had it for the other year, is that also a chazaka? Do we assume that they're considered like one person? That's going to lead us into a little bit of a discussion as well. As far as lekuchos are concerned, what if somebody bought it in the middle? It was father, son, and buyer. Is that a chazaka or a chazaka made against father, son, and buyer? And then the Mishnah on Amud Aleph is going to talk about those people who, no matter how long they're in the field, they do not have a chazaka. Meaning there's another reasonable explanation why they're in that field all that time. They work there, they have some sort of other connection to that field, so whether that's going to be a chazaka. And the Gemara is going to compare a shutaf on the one hand, a partner having a chazaka, and an uman on the other hand. Which one is more likely to have the ability to develop a chazaka than the other? A shutaf or an uman, and whether they both don't have a chazaka or only one of them don't have a chazaka. So those are the basic topics of today's daf. So let's begin. Shlosha lekuchos mitstarfin. If you have three people that each bought one from the other, they are mitstarif to be able to make a chazaka. The Rashbam goes through very simply how the case works. The field used to belong to Reuven. It always belonged to Reuven. Shimon goes and lives in it for a year with a claim that he bought it from Reuven. Shimon then flips it to Levi, who with a shtar, and Levi lives in it for a year. Levi flips it to Yehuda with a shtar, and Yehuda lives in it for a year. Then Reuven comes and he's ma'arer and he says, I never sold it to Shimon. I have no idea. Meaning he's ma'arer on Yehuda. Yehuda's the last guy that's there. He says, Yehuda, what are you doing in my field? He says, well, I bought it from Levi. Who's Levi? Well, he's the guy that bought it from Shimon. Who's Shimon? He's the one that bought it from you. I don't know what you're talking about. I never bought it from Shimon. Well, we have a chazaka of 3 years. No, you don't have a chazaka of 3 years. No one was here for 3 years. Each of you were here for a year. You were not machzik the machziki inshi. You weren't developing a chazaka the way people normally have a chazaka, which is by consistently staying there for a period of time of 3 years. So I assume that there's no chazaka against me. So what's the halacha? So shlosh lekuchos, the Gemara says, they are mitstarif. It is a chazaka. Amarav v'kulam b'shtar. Rav says, however, that only works if they all have a shtar. L'meimr d'sav Rav, shtar is le'kala ve'edim lasu kala. Meaning, why would Rav say kulam b'shtar? Why is it necessary that they all have a shtar? Because we assume that the marakam can only say, I didn't realize that you were developing a chazaka. I thought that that's why you kept on flipping it to each other. Only if he didn't know that this kept on being sold, that this was an actual sale. But when there's a shtar with the sale, so there's a call that goes out with that sale, and therefore everyone would have known about it, including the Marakami. He should have been well aware of the fact that this karka kept on being sold from one person to the next. So ask the Gemara, but wait, does Rav really hold that having a shtar is what makes a kol, but anything short of a shtar would not make a kol, would not be something that would be found out by the Marakama? So lememer, the sefer of shtar is lekala, but ve'edim laslu kala, that having a mechira with edim would not suffice to create a kol so that the Marakama would realize what's going on over here. V'amar Rav, didn't Rav tell us elsewhere, amokha sada be'edim govim nechasim shubadim? If a person sells a field with just edim, even if there's no shtar, they're just edim that witness the mechira, so that's enough to create a shibud karkaos. Shibud only works when there is a kol, because otherwise the lukuchos, the innocent lukuchos, they bought these properties, they had no idea that there was a lien on the property, but if there was a kol, they can't claim ignorance. They can't claim, oh, we had no idea there's a lien on the property. There's a kol. Everyone knew that there was a lien on the property. What does it take to make a kol? So Rav says, all it takes is Eidim. So we assume that there are Eidim that is Mekabel Achrayus, and that's enough to make a call against that there's a lien against that Karka. So how is Rav going to say that it's only a Shtar and that Eidim doesn't work over here? So says Gemara, Hasan Lukuchos, Inu Avsidu Anafshayu. There's a big difference between being a Lokeach and being a Marakamu, someone is trying to be Machzik in your field. When you're a Lokeach, you're laying out money, you're paying for something. When you make an investment like that, when you're paying for a piece of property, you need to research the property, you need to do a lot of homework. And if you don't do that homework to see if there are any liens on the property, that's your own fault. That's taking the loss upon yourself. So Eidim are enough to create enough of a call that someone who's researching will be able to turn up something. He'll be able to find that there is in fact a lien on the property. But when someone's making a chazaka in my karka, I have no obligation to research anything. If no one is there for 3 years straight, if no single person is there for 3 years straight, that's not a chazaka. I don't have to research anything. I'm not making any sort of investment. And therefore, the kind of call that would be necessary to establish the chazaka as meaningful when the chazaka is not made by one person is a call that can only be created by a shtar. Eidim would not suffice. So essentially, it's a sliding scale. It's not like call is something that's either yes or no. There's when something is done very secretly, there's no call whatsoever. When something is done b'shtar, there's a massive call. And when something is done b'eidim, it's a moderate call. So the nafkamina would be a moderate call is enough that if a person's researching, he'll find. But when someone's not researching, then you would need a massive call. You would need a shtar in order for a person to be able to find out about it on his own. So says Gemara, Umiyam Rav Hachi, does Rav really say that someone who sells his field be'edim and he's mekabel achrayus on it, the edim saw that it was mekabel achrayus when the Bali Chov come to collect the field from the lokech, there's actually a shiba nechasson, lokech can go and collect from the mocher, vatnan, but didn't Rav say in the Mishnah we're going to have much, much later in the Masechta and Daf Kufay and Hey, hamalves chaver b'shtar, if a person lends someone money with a shtar, govim nechasim shubadim, so the loan can be collected even from nechasim shubadim. There's assumed to be a lien on the karka. Yeah, aliyde edim. That's only b'shtar, but aliyde edim. If the loan was only with Eidim, without a shtar, then you can only collect from nechassim that the lova still has right now, not any nechassim that he has sold to other people. So you see that something that's done by Eidim without a shtar does not have a kol, and we don't say that the lekuchos, you know, afsidu anafshayu, that they have themselves to blame for buying this property. Apparently, even with Eidim, the people who bought this property are not to blame for buying this property, and they do not lose the karka that they had purchased. So how can Rav? Clearly, normally when we say Miyam Rav Hachi, we then quote Rav going against it. So here we're not quoting Rav, we're quoting a Mishnah, where Rav is an Amora, and here we have a Mishnah that goes directly against Rav. V'chi tema Rav Tanahu Upaldik. And if you're going to say, no, Rav is a Tana, and he's allowed to argue, because Rav is treated himself at least like one of the Tanaim who has the right to argue on a Mishnah. Rav is from the very early generations of Amoraim, where it was just getting started, this whole idea that an Amora is not allowed to argue with the Tana, as the Mishnah explains, it wasn't a halacha, there's no halacha that an Amora is not allowed to argue on a Tana, it was something that they accepted upon themselves. They realized that it's best not for an Amora to argue on a Tana, that they're better off trying to understand the Divrei Tanaim rather than trying to argue on the Divrei Tanaim. They're allowed to, but most of the time they'll end up being wrong. Most of the time Tanaim will end up being more correct. Rav Salvation explained that the Svara is, Vashuai said that the Pasha Peshad is that the Amoraim realized that the gap between them and the Tanaim was just too great, and the same thing with the Achronim and the Rishonim, that and the, with the Rishonim and the Gemara, that they realized that at certain points in history they just came to the realization that the gap was so great that we can't argue. And you have, whenever there are these lines, it's never like an exact red line that no one crosses. Certainly with Rishonim and Achronim, you know, there are Achronim that argue all the time on Rishonim. You ever read Shagas Aryeh? that argues on the Rishonim all the time. The Vilna Gaon is known to argue on Rishonim. So you have, although Vilna Gaon more often isn't really arguing on Rishonim, he's more often picking sides in Machlokes Rishonim, which is pretty standard practice. But nevertheless, he asserts he's a little more assertive than most of the Achronim are. So whenever you have these red lines, because it's not a halacha, it's just something that they realize that the gap is so great that it doesn't make sense to argue anymore. So that's something that that is never universal at each stage. Salvation explained differently though, because l'chora, you know, one could ask they realize when the gap is so great, how big does that gap have to be? Let me ask you, the difference between, let's say, the earliest generations of Amoraim and the latest generations of Tanaim, is that bigger or smaller than the difference between, I don't know, us and Rabbi Kiva Eger? I would imagine that it's a smaller gap than the gap between us and Rabbi Kiva Eger. The gap between us and Rabbi Kiva Eger is pretty substantial. So what are they, when and yet we're allowed to argue with Rabbi Kiva Eger. He's an achron. So we probably shouldn't be in the practice of doing that much, but you know, technically, strictly speaking, someone in our generation, a posuk in our generation, could be cholok and Rabbi Kiva Eger. So why is that? Is it all about the gap? So Salvation said it's not about the gap. Usually it's about a fundamental change in the Mesiras HaTorah, the Mesoras HaTorah, that the way the Torah was originally given is the way that is the most authentic version of the Mesorah. Whenever there was a major change in the way the Torah was transmitted from one generation to the next, so that changed the status of the Bali Mesorah of that generation. They were on the lower level of Bali Mesorah. For example, once they wrote down all the Mishnayos, and it was no longer being given Baal Peh, okay, Eis Lasos Hashem, Eferus Or Secha, they had to do it in order to keep the Torah. Of course they had to do it, but still it changes the very nature of the Bali Mesorah of that generation. They're just on a madrega below, and they realize that a Bali Mesorah of this stature can't argue against Bali Mesorah of a higher stature. But anyway, Rav was, for whatever reason, not subject to this rule. At least he didn't act in that way. Rav Tanu Hu Palik. So you can say, I don't have a problem that you have a Mishnah on Kufayin Hay that goes against Rav. Rav is a Tanu. Rav's allowed to argue on the Mishnah. Great, you're right, but Varav Shmuel Damri Travayu Milval Pei Nugav Lomen Yarshim Lomen Al Kuchos. But Rav and Shmuel both said that someone who's Milval Pei, which means yes, there are Edim, but no, there's no Shtar. They cannot collect from the Kuchos. There's no Shibud Nechasim. So that's a problem for what Rav said over here. That if a person sells a field with Edim and he's Mekabel Achrayus, then you can collect from Nechasim Shubadim. Why is it that when I sell with Edim, you're allowed to collect from Nechasim Meshubadim, but when I lend money with Edim, you can't collect with the Nechasim Meshubadim. So says Gemara, Milva Zvini Karamis. You can't ask a contradiction between a case of a loan and a case of a sale. Those are entirely different types of transactions. Milva Kiyazif, Bitsina Kiyazif. When it comes to a loan, a person lends money, he does it privately. He tries not to let it be known because when you're borrowing money, it's a signal that you're short on cash, and that's going to make it very hard for you to operate in business when people know that you're hemorrhaging cash and that you keep needing more capital to plug in the holes. So that's not going to be good for a person. So if he's borrowing money, he's going to try to do it as quietly as possible. So that if he needs to sell karka, people aren't going to realize how desperate he is to sell the karka, how he needs to liquidate as quickly as possible, and it's going to put him in a very bad position. They're not going to pay him a proper price for the karka. So someone who lends money to his friend with Edim, Rav says, cannot be govim l'chasim l'shabadim, because it's not the kind of thing that he's trying to get out. It's the kind of thing he's trying to keep as quiet as possible. But Zvini, mand zavinar b'feres yezavin, a person who sells karka does so publicly, ki echi delepik lakala, in order that there should be a call about this mechira. And why does he want a call about the mechira? If you're selling a house, why is it that people advertise that they're selling a house? They want as many potential buyers as possible to line up. If you get as many, the more it's known that you're selling a house, the greater chance that you'll have a bidding war on the house, that there will be people that will be interested in, more people interested in buying the house. So if the Lekuchos would have investigated properly, they would have heard that this mocher sold this karka ba'achrayus, and they would have been careful not to buy this karka from him unless he has another karka that he left over that would have been worth the value of whatever his debt is to pay from that other karka. So the fact that they didn't do that research, they were mafsid l'atzman, they're the ones they have themselves to blame for not having done that research. That's the difference between a loan on the one hand and a mechira on the other hand. Good. So now we're going to discuss when chazaka is a combination. It's a team effort between father and son. Tan Rabbanan. Achla av shana v'haben shtayim. Let's say the father was in the karka for 1 year. The son was in the karka after the father died. He was yorish the karka. He's there for an additional 2 years. The rishonim of machlokas, whether the chazaka of the son that we're talking about is dafka if the ben is a gadol or even by a ben katan, whether it would work even if the son is a katan. But certainly if he's a gadol, the father had it for 1 year, the son has it for 2 years. Or ha'av shtayim v'aben shana, or vice versa, the father had it for 2 years and then the son has it for 1 year. So even though the father had most of the chazaka years and the ben is a minority of the years, still it's mitztaref for a chazaka. That's the extra chiddush of this line. Ha'av shana ben shana v'alokeach shana harez chazaka. Not only that, even if the father had it for 1 year, the son had it for 1 year, and then the lokeach has it for another year, and the ma'aris still doesn't say anything, that's a chazaka that's mitztarif, the three of them together to create a chazaka. The ma'ara cannot say that, oh, I wasn't mocha because you are no single person was machzik b'karka for 3 years and I thought you were afraid to be machzik de machziki in sheep, because they all know that's the derech of a son to yarshin his father. And the mechira, again, we must be assuming that there's a shtar at this mechira, so it has a kol, he would have known about that, and therefore it is a valid chazaka. Says Gemara, the meimer de lokech isle kala, is that true that when a person, when the Yoresh sells the Lokech, there's a call to that Mechira, and therefore that Lokech's year is mitztaref to the father's year and to the son's year to create a Chazaka or a Minhi, but I'll ask you a Stira from a Braisa, Achla Bifnei Ha'av Shana, if a person is Machzik in a Karka, and the father was the Marakama, but the father was only around for 1 year, and then he died after 1 year of me having the Chazaka, Ubifnei ben shtayim, and then the son took over and I continued to live in that property for an additional 2 years while the son is alive. Now this only would work if the son, whatever we're saying right now is clearly only if the son is a gadol. We're not working if the son is a katan, because over here we're talking about developing chazaka against them, against this father's son. You can't have chazaka against the katan. The whole idea of a chazaka is that he should have made a macha'a. What's a katan supposed to do? He's a kid. He doesn't know any better. So clearly, it's only if it's a gadol, because ain't machzikin b'nichsei katan, even if he becomes a gadol afterwards. Tosfos makes that point. All the Rishonim make that point. So b'fnei av shtayim, b'fnei ben shana, or it was the reverse. The father was alive for the first 2 years of me living in the field, and then the son had it for another year, or b'fnei av shana, u'b'fnei ben shana, u'b'fnei lokeach shana, that it was the father, then the son, then a lokeach, harezu chazaka, it's mitztari for 3 years of chazaka. The guy who bought it from the son is not able to say that I want my karka back that I purchased, because the machzik could say, what do you mean? I have 3 years of chazaka, and no one made a macha for 3 years, and therefore I have every right to have this. But if you say that a lokeach has a kol, so wait a second. What do you mean no one ever made a macha? Could there be a greater macha than the marakama selling the land? He wouldn't sell the land if he didn't believe it belongs to him. So if you've been living there for 3 years, yeah, you may be the same guy that's been living there for 3 years. The Marakama selling it is his emphatic statement that it still belongs to him and that he never sold it to you. So don't you see that Lokeach must not have a kol? Because if it had a kol, that would be a valid form of macha'a. So Rapapa Kitanya hi b'mochas dos of stam. Really, Lokeach buys karka, there is a kol to a purchase of karka. The reason the Bryce says machzik b'fnei av and b'fnei ben and Lokeach together is not considered a macha'a for this chazaka, because the Bryce is talking about where the son sold the lokeach all of his fields. He said, I'm selling you all of my father's properties. He never identified this as a specific property that he was selling. Meaning, Enochinami, if he would have sold this property and defined it by its borders, so yes, that is a macha'a, because I'm saying that I own this. But if I just say stam, I'm selling you all my father's properties, and we don't identify what those properties are, so the fellow who has a chazaka will say, of course I knew you were selling all your father's properties, but I didn't think this was one of them, because I've been living here for 3 years. So So that is not a valid mecha when you're just selling it stam. That's the way that's the way most of the Rishonim understand this Gemara. By the Reish of the Brisa, the din of the Chazaka Lokeach being mistaived to the Chazaka is talking about where he sold it by Mufurash. But if he sold all of his field stam, it wouldn't be Chazaka until the Lokeach is actually there for 3 years, because that wouldn't have a kol. That's what the Rishonim point out. The Yad Ramah points that out. They have to say the Reisha and the Seifa are talking about different cases. That the Seifa is talking about where it was where it was Lokech Stam, I'm buying all the properties, and the Reisha is talking about where he was more specific, I'm buying Dafka this property. The Rashba writes that since it's one Brisa, Behechrich, once the Gemara says that the Seifa is talking about that he sold all the field Stam, you have to say that the Reisha is consistent with that. A single Brisa, and it sets up two cases, father, son, Lokeach, one on the Machzik side and one on the Marakama side, and the words Lokeach mean different things in the Reisha and the Seifa. Rashba says very highly unlikely. The chilik between the Reisha and the Seifa is that in the Reisha, the son sold all of his fields with a shtar, so there's a call that he sold all of his fields and he's Machzik in that field amongst the other fields. So the Ma'arish should have realized that, oh, he's treating this like one of the fields, meaning all those cases, in both the Reishas also he sold it stam. But you know, it's one thing if I'm the Marakama and I see that you sold the father had it for a year, the son had it for a year, then the son sold all of the father's fields and the Lokeach has it for the year, I should realize that if Lokeach is living in that field, included in his stam of all of the father's properties, he believes that field is one of them. That's something that I should realize. On the reverse, there's no way to notice. There's no way to realize that the Marakama included that in a sale when he's the son of the Marakama included that in the sale when he was selling all, because he's not actually living in the property. So that, the Rashba points out, is a fundamental distinction between the Reisha and the Seifa, while still keeping that it's talking about the same case, that he sold all of his fields stam. Okay, new Mishnah now. The Mishnah is going to discuss people who do not have a chazaka. Ha'umanim, people who work over here. Now, in this Mishnah, we're actually going to switch a little bit from Cheskas Gimel Shanim to other types of Chazakah. So this Mishnah is going to include different types of Chazakah and sort of use the words almost interchangeably, so we're going to have to be careful about what kind of Chazakah we're talking about over here. An Uman is someone who, let's say a tailor, takes your clothing in his house and he starts fixing the clothing, or he dyes the clothing, whatever type of work he does with it, and he has this beged in his possession, so he says, yeah, it's mine. I bought it from the original owner. Two people buy karka b'shutfus. One of them is machzik in chelik chavero, and the other guy is chelik of the field for 3 years. And he says, yeah, I bought my partner out. So you see it right away. Those are different kinds of chazaka. One of them is on metaltalin, that I have possession of it, so I'm claiming that it's mine. And the other one is on karka, where it's gimel shanin, that one shutaf is in the other one's property for 3 years. The ha'arisin, someone who's an artist, is a sharecropper on that field, and after 3 years of working in the field, because that's what an artist does, he works in the field, he claims, yeah, I bought it, the karka belongs to me. V'aputropin, or an apotropos of yisomim, where his job is to take care of the karka for the yisomim. In all these cases, ein lem chazaka. The chazaka doesn't work, because obviously they're the ones that have possession of it, and they're the ones that have been taking care of it for 3 years. That's their job, that's what they are expected to do. There's a machlokas rishonim where the ma'arer has to be mochiach that they originally went into the field as umnin or arisim or whatever these professions are, and if he isn't able to prove that they went as arisim, then the chazaka would be a chazaka. Or maybe no, it's not his responsibility to bring a raya, as long as we know that this is a person who generally does this. He works as an apotropos, he works as an aris, he's done it for other people, so we have the right to assume that that's his relationship with this karka as well. That's a discussion in the Rishonim. What exactly does the Ma'arir, does the Marakama have to actually prove over here? Lo li'ish chazaka b'nichsei ishto. Similarly, a husband who's machzik in the nichsei malug that his wife brought into the marriage and he eats the peros from that nichsei malug for 3 years is not able to come with a taina that he purchased those nechasim from his wife. And after all, look, I have a chazaka. That's the derech that a husband eats the peros of the nechsei malug of his wife. Mukhe Yosef explains that even if the husband was mevater on his chus of the nechsei malug, he says dinu dvarim ein li b'nechsayich, still it doesn't help that he's had a chazaka in the karka. I mean, let's say we know that he has previously given up the rights to those peros, so he could say, you might think he should be able to say, well, I've been eating the peros for 3 years. If I gave up the rights to eating the peros, why do you think I'm eating the peros? Must be because I gave up the rights to my wife's nechsei malug. It's no longer her nechsei malug. I purchased it. No, even then, says the Nemukei Yosef, still, even once a husband is mochel, they're married, so it's likely that she's still allowing him to eat the peros, and he's just acting like a husband acts, typically toward his wife's property. It's still not a raya that he has in fact purchased the property. So a man does not have chazaka in nechsei yishto. V'lalisha chazaka b'nechsei baila. A woman who eats from her husband's nechasim can't claim that she bought it from him, because it could be that he allowed her to eat the peros as an exchange for the mizonos that he has to give, that a husband has to give to her. So that's not a riot to anything. V'lo la'av b'nechsei ha'ben, v'lo la'ben b'nechsei ha'av. A father is not machzik b'nechsei ha'ben, nor a son in his father's properties, because they could. It's normal that a son is involved in his father's properties and his father's taking care of his father's properties, and the father helps out the son a lot, like an apotropos. One is an apotropos for the other one, so it's not a chazaka at all. But all of this is when one is machzik karka and he claims that the karka belongs to him against the ma'arir. Aval benosin matana. But if a person gives karka as a matana to somebody else and he says, I want you to go be machzik in this matana, so now we're shifting. We're talking about a different type of chazaka. Up until now, we've been talking about chazaka as proof that there must have been a purchase at some earlier date. Now we're talking about a chazaka as a form of kinyan, not a cheskas gimel shanim, but one of the ways to acquire karka, to actually make a kinyan on karka, is what we call chazaka, which has nothing to do with cheskas gimel shanim, but they're both called chazaka, so the Mishnah puts them in the same Mishnah. Very confusing that it would put it in the same Mishnah, but the Mishnah says, yeah, this is everything we've been talking about until now is about being machzik for gimel shanim. But if you give a matana and you want someone to make a kinyan, or va'achin shechalku, brothers divide a father's estate, and someone's supposed to make a kinyan, va'machzik b'nechsei ager, or there's the nechasim of a ger who died, so a ger doesn't have any yorshim, he's the only person who doesn't have yorshim, because there's no one that's related to him, it's the only one that possibly doesn't have yorshim, because there's no one that's related to him. So what do you do to be kona that field from hefker? Na'al gadur uparetz kolshu, harezu chazaka. Kinyan chazaka is by doing some sort of maisa kinyan on the property. The Gemara is going to say later on, it's not enough to just put out some, you know, put something on the property, put some personal item on the property. No, it has to be null gadur parts. It makes some meaningful change to the property. You build a fence on the property. You you breach a fence on the property. Something significant. I saw a discussion in the Achronim. There was a tshuva in the tshuvas Masas Binyamin. A guy was sitting in his father-in-law's spot in shul for a number of years while the father-in-law was alive. Then the father-in-law died, and he was sitting there for years and years, and then the sons came, and his brothers-in-law said, you know, we yarshin our father's spot, you don't yarshin our father's spot. I guess seats were at a premium or something. So he said, I had my shtender here, I had myself here, so is there a chazaka in something like that? So he discusses both kinds of chazaka. Is it a chazaka like a cheskas gimel shanim? It's a raya that he was mochel to me, that he had given it to me b'matana, or is it the other kind of chazaka that he actually made a kinyan through being here, or maybe neither. I don't know. I'm not sure that it's comparable to any of these cases. Avod Shmuel Levi, Avod Shmuel and Levi, Tanu Shutaf Elo Chazaka V'Kol Shkein Uman. So In our Mishnah, it lists those people who don't have a chazakah. We mentioned so the Shmuel's father and Levi have shutaf amongst those who don't have a chazakah, but they didn't have uman amongst those who don't have a chazakah, because they hold that it doesn't even need to say an uman. Because of a shutaf who actually owned part of the property, so there's definitely room to say that he bought out the other guy's portion, still he doesn't have a chazakah. An uman who was never an owner of any part of the property, of course doesn't have a chazakah, because obviously he was mekabel the beged in order to fix it, in order to do something with it. He never owned any part of it previously. Shmuel tani, but Shmuel himself learned uman ein lo chazaka, avol shutaf yesh lo chazaka. That an uman may not have a chazaka, but a shutaf does have a chazaka, because the part of it belonged to him, and they should have both each had half of the property and stayed on their half. And the fact that this man alone, one person, one of the shutfim alone, was machzik in the karka for 3 years straight, so that's a raya that the field must belong to him. That's how the Rashbam explains that Levi and Shmuel disagree about the Mishnah itself, whether we should mention uman ein lo chazaka or shutaf ein lo chazaka. Tosa Rashi, however, says that the Mishnah itself, both Levi and Shmuel, would agree that it doesn't have the din of shutaf. And the whole machlokus is whether we should add it in a brisa. Very often the Mishnah misses something, so the brisa will add another detail. The bottom line is arguing the same halacha. Does a shutaf have a chazaka? Does a shutaf have a chazaka? Benichse chaveru. Benichse shutafo. Do we assume that he's an owner and therefore he should have a chazaka, or do we assume that no, there's an explanation why he's in the field and therefore he doesn't have a chazaka? It is interesting that on one side of the machlokas you have Avuah de Shmuel, on the other side of the machlokas you have Shmuel. This is one of the exceptions. Normally a son is not allowed to be cholik on his father, but that's in Mili de Alma. Son's not allowed to be cholik on his father, and when his father says something, the son is not allowed to contradict it. But in Divrei Torah, he is allowed to. He has an obligation to paskin what he believes to be the truth. So the son is allowed. That's what the Gemara in Kiddushin says, that afilu avu b'no, ravi talmido, that are osik in Torah together, they're ka'ivim zelazed, they act like enemies toward each other, they're ready to kill each other. And then at the end, they're ohavim. By the time they get up from the learning, they love each other. But that it's from the healthy debate that the love and the bond is created. So anyway, vaz Shmuel teme. This idea that Shmuel says that a shutaf is able to have a chazaka, this is Shmuel shitasav. Darmer Shmuel a shutaf and machzikin ze al ze. Shmuel said explicitly that shutafim can have a chazaka for each against each other. If someone comes from an outsider comes to with a taina on one of the chelik of one of the shutfim, the other shutaf could be made to keep the property in the possession of his partner, and he's not considered a nogea be'edus, because no one's making a taina on his half of the property, someone's making a taina on the other guy's half of the property, he's able to be made. V'nasim shomri sachar zelazeh. The thing that they're shutfim in gets stolen when one of them had it, so he's like a shomer sachar, meaning he has to pay for the geneva. He has to pay his shutaf's portion out in the geneva. What's his schar? That when the other guy will have it, he'll watch over his chelak for the same amount of time. So that's why he's considered a shomer sachar, meaning he's not actually getting paid to watch the item. If we share something and I get it Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, you get it Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. When I have it Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, you're not paying me to have it, but you sort of are. The way you're paying me is by you protecting it Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. So that's why they're considered to be like a Shomer Sachar. So Gemara says, but we find that Shmuel holds elsewhere that a Shutaf does not have a Chazaka. Rami le Rabbi Abel Rabbi Yehuda b'ma'arata debei Rav Zakai, by the Ma'ara of the base Medrash of Rabbi Zakai. The Bach says b'ma'atzarta debei Rabbi Zakai, meaning in his olive press of Rabbi Zakai. Rabbi Zakai didn't live in a cave. He had an olive press, and they were having a Torah conversation in the olive press. Whereas Rabbi Yaakov Emden in Hagos Yaivitz in the back of the Gemara says no, it's b'ma'arata. And the Chiddush is that even when things were so dangerous that they had to be hiding out in caves, what were they doing? They were talking and learning. That even when they had much bigger things, it's like a shalos shuvos mimamakim kind of statement. That even when they had a lot on their mind, and there was a lot of reason and a lot of excuses for them not to be learning, they were still talking and learning. So anyway, the conversation happened in this ma'ar. Ara, where he said, Mi Amar Shmuel, Shutaf Yeshlo Chazaka. Does Shmuel really hold that a Shutaf in the other one's Chelek has a Chazaka? Vamar Shmuel, Shutaf, that someone who's Maxik in the field, in his friend's portion of the field, a partner who's Maxik in his friend's portion of the field, he's as if this, it's as if his friend gave him Rishus and told him to work in that field like an artist. Lav lememer shutaf en lo chazaka. What do you think he means by that when he says he's a Yorid Birishus, he's like an artist? Doesn't that mean that he doesn't have a chazaka, that when the shutaf goes and he's Maxik in the entire field, he has the din of an artist who does not have a chazaka? So isn't that a stira in Shmuel? Says the Gemara, lo kasha. Hadanachis lekula, hadanachis lepalga. Over here we're talking about the shutaf goes and takes over the entire field and claims that he bought out his partner, whereas the other case is talking about where he only took part of the field, that's the better part of the field, and he claims that they already split the karka between them and he got this portion, which happens to be the better portion. And he says, my raya, that this is my portion of the field, is that I've been here for three years. And the other guy says, no, we haven't split the karka yet, it's just that tonight was that you get the peros of the better chelek for 3 years, and then I'll get the peros of the better chelek for the next 3 years. So the only thing is, we didn't say which way is which. In which way does he have a chazaka, which way does he not have a chazaka? So amila lahai gisa, v'amila lahai gisa. You can defend it in either way. You can explain it in either way. Some explain that Rav Yehuda's teretz is as follows. When Shmuel says a shutaf does have a chazaka, it's talking about where the shutaf took over the entire field. Since the minhag of shutfim is either to split the peros of each and every year, or for each of them to take half of the karka, and this year, take half of the karka this year, and then flip it around, you take the other half next year, and over here, this guy alone had all the peros of the sada for all 3 years, that is a chazaka. But when he said, shutaf ein lo chazaka, it's talking about where he only took half of the karka, like a shutfus normally works. So, but in that case, he would not have a chazaka, even though he took the better part of the karka, but that's the way shutfim often work, where I'll take the better part of the karka for a few years, then you'll take the better part of the karka for 3 years. So that's one way to resolve it. V'amila l'hai gisa, others say that no, it's the exact opposite, that when the bala sada is maksik, his chazaka is not a chazaka, because that's the derech of the shutfim, that one eats the peros of the entire field for 3 years, and then the other one has the peros of the entire field for 3 years. But why would we split it in half and you get only the better portion? That doesn't make sense. If we were going to split it in half, we'd split it down the middle. It's one thing if, okay, I don't want to have to deal with this karka for 3 years. When I can benefit from it to its maximum, that's when I'll deal with it. So you get it for a few years, then I'll get it for a few years. So that would not be a chazaka. But splitting it in half, where you're getting the better portion, I'm getting the worst portion, that's a highly unusual arrangement, and therefore it's an unlikely arrangement. It must be that was not the arrangement, but rather that he actually has a chazaka. Ravina Amar, Havaha Denachas Lekula. That really both cases, both of the Merimus of Shmuel are talking about where he went and took over the entire field. Velo Kasha, Had ispa din chaluka, vadalespa din chaluka. When Shmuel says a shutaf has a chazaka, it's a field that could have easily been divided, and they chose not to divide it. One of the shutfim has been taking the whole thing for 3 years. Ah, that must be that it's a chazaka, because if it wasn't a chazaka, why didn't they just divide it? But if it was a field that was too small to divide, it was lespa din chaluka, that's the case where Shmuel says that a shutaf does not have a chazaka, because why didn't they just divide the field? I'm sorry, because it's obvious why they didn't just divide the field. They couldn't divide the field. It was a field that was not divisible. Gufa. So we can go back to what Shmuel actually said. Amar Shmuel, Shutaf ki yored bereshus dami. That a Shutaf has a status of someone who is yored bereshus. Maikama Shmuelan, what din is Shmuel telling us? Shutvus eimo chazaka. That a Shutaf who goes and takes the field of his partner, and he's maksik in that karka for 3 years, it's not a chazaka. So if that's all he's telling us, there's an easier way to say that. Lema shutaf in lo chazaka. Instead of saying, oh, he's kiyored bereshus, that's an odd way of saying things. Just say that a shutaf doesn't have a chazaka, and that's all you need to say. What do you have to say? Yored bereshus. So Amrav Nachman, Amrav Baravua, Lomar, when he says shutaf is kiyori bereshus, he's coming to teach me shenoto b'shvach hamagia l'ksafayim, that he takes from the peros of the shevach of the of the peros that are completed, that are fully ripened, that are in the field, that are ready to be harvested. V'sada she'ena asuya lita, and even in a field that's not made for trees, it's made for planting wheat, and he planted it with trees, kisada asuya lita, as if it were sada asuya lita. I mean, since he has the status of an aris, who's yorid b'rashus, so if Shmuel would have just said, shoot of ein l'chazaka, we would have said that if he goes to stay chavero, yadol la tachtona, because he went shalom b'rashus, so that's why Shmuel has to say, no, he's kiyorid b'rashus, and therefore he's yado al ha'elyona. That's how the Rashbam explains this line of the Gemara. The Ritva writes that Rav Nachman doesn't mean to say that Shmuel holds to be mechadesh only this din, but as opposed to the din of Shutaf Ein L'Chazaka, he means to say that if Shmuel would have said Shutaf Ein L'Chazaka, it would have been incomplete. Yes, that's also true, but it would have been incomplete. So he's trying to tell us not only that, but also he's kiyorid b'rashus, and therefore he has the status of Yado al ha'elyona. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, we'll pick up from there tomorrow.